At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm up from Evo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got a tremendous podcast for you guys. It is the Horizon League Preview Edition, one of my favorite conferences, as it involves a pair of teams from the great state of Wisconsin. We did wind up seeing a little bit of a drop-off with this year's conference, with Illinois-Chicago departing, but not too big of a loss in my opinion. But I think that's going to be a fun conference, one in which, year in and year out, we don't see a lot of defense played in this conference, which makes it all the better. In the second segment, we're going to be joined by Blake Lovell. He does the Horizon League Conference Preview every year for Blue Ribbon. On top of that, you've seen him over there at Southeastern 14, the Marching to Madness podcast, Locked On SEC podcast, list goes on and on. Guy does amazing work in college basketball. We're going to be looking at all the rosters, all the movement in terms of a few coaching changes as well with this conference in segment number two. As I always do with regards to these conference previews, in the first segment, I'm going to take a look at the betting trends and take a look at just the styles of play of the Horizon League. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my projector or finish for this conference. If you've got any questions, comments, segment ideas, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we all fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does that matter? So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. If any news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday, I'm going to be doing those on the podcast tomorrow. So we've got all the housekeeping done there. Now let's get down to it. Let's take a look at this conference where Cleveland State and Purdue Fort Wayne wound up winning their regular season, but it was Wright State being the right team to go to the NCAA tournament last season. And you saw a lot of teams that were very similar last year, as out of your top five teams, four of them averaged between 73.5 and 75.8 points per game. This is not a conference that is ever going to be known for its defense, because you got a lot of teams that they'd like to chuck it up from three-point range, and the teams that they were unable to, they wanted dipping towards the bottom, as 9 through 12 in UW-Milwaukee, Robert Morris, UW-Green Bay, and IUPUI, these were your bottom four teams in terms of points per game scored. Now, I will say defense was a little bit better last season, as you wound up having, out of the 12 teams that were within the conference, only three give up more than 71 points per game. But one of those teams, that's not on the fold. In Illinois, Chicago, we wish them the best of luck as they wind up having conference realignment. I think that's going to be going relatively rough for all those folks over there with the Flames. But that said, Robert Morris, it was a little bit of a train wreck for this team. But you did notice that after Rasheem Dunn, who wound up transferring in from St. John's, wound up actually leaving the program, things wound up going a little bit more online with this team. Now, one thing about the Horizon League as well is that you're never necessarily going to have great rebounding in terms of these teams. Both of the Wisconsin schools, UW-Green Bay, UW-Milwaukee, both of these teams are outside the top 225 in terms of rebound rate. Youngstown State was one of your better rebounding teams. They were 130th in the country. Northern Kentucky, they were also in the top 80 in terms of rebound rate as well. But you did wind up seeing a lot of these teams wind up getting massacred on the glass. And wound up seeing a few teams that, with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis, they were not too terrific. Detroit, just year in and year out, they play a relatively slow style, and they can't wind up stopping a nosebleed, as they were in the bottom 50 last season in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. You just wind up seeing it with this conference in general. They allow a lot of teams to be able to shoot the three ball, and most of those teams, they shoot it relatively well, so it's going to be fascinating to see what we wind up getting this season. But I felt like last year, things were down a little bit with regards to the offense as compared to in past seasons, because you did wind up seeing a couple of ailments, you did wind up seeing some departures from conferences as well, so that was something that, in my opinion, was relatively fascinating to take a look at. But with regards to the Horizon, like, it was a conference that, in general, they didn't wind up having the world's greatest run of things in the non-conference, as the team that wound up representing the conference in the NCAA tournament in Wright State, they were actually really, really bad to begin the season. They won 20 out of their last 27 games after starting out 2-7 straight up and 1-6 against the spread out of conference. As a matter of fact, you only wound up having three teams that had a winning record out of conference. Oakland, who wound up going 7-3 against the spread out of conference. And you notice this with a lot of teams out there in the Horizon League. The teams that started hot, they wound up ending the year cold. The teams that began the year cold, they got hot at the end of the year. So we did wind up seeing that happen quite a bit as well. Cleveland State won 4-2 against the spread in non-conference games. And then UW-Green Bay, 4-3-1 against the spread out of conference. But the teams that wound up getting hot in conference, they were some surprises. IPFW, Fort Wayne, 16-7 against the spread in conference. Northern Kentucky, 15-8 against the spread in conference. Detroit, 12-7 against the spread. A lot of these teams were some of your lesser defensive teams, but teams that were able to put the ball in the basket. It was a relatively tight-knit conference in terms of how teams wound up doing against the spread. You didn't really have any slugs. You really didn't have any teams that wound up lighting the world on fire, though I will say, for Oakland, it was just an almighty fall off for this team, and it was looking like a bunch that not only were they going to have a chance to perhaps be able to make the NCAA tournament, but if they did wind up making the NCAA tournament, they were going to be able to make some noise in the NCAA tournament, as in the final 14 games of the season, 2-12 against the spread. It went straight down the toilet bowl for them, so that was not necessarily too terrific, but you know, it was pretty terrific what Detroit was able to do against the spread at home, and we did wind up seeing some demonstrative home and road splits, as it felt like the teams out there in the great state of Michigan, they wound up having a little bit of an advantage, as Oakland 7-5 against the spread at home, Detroit 8-1 against the spread at home. That's a lot, in my opinion, because they're a team that they relied very, very heavily on the three ball. Meanwhile, these teams that they wanted building themselves a little bit more around defense, it felt like they were more of your road warrior teams. Like, you take a look at a team like a Cleveland State, they wanted going 7-5 against the spread in their true road games. Youngstown State was 8-6, along with IUPUI, and that's a team that we're going to be hitting upon with Blake, 51.3 points per game. Second lowest mark of any D1 team in the last 12 years. Just absolutely remarkable what we wound up seeing there. But getting back to the crux of this, IPFW 9-4 against the spread on the road. They were able to go on a very Herculean run towards the back half of the season. Then when it comes to what we wound up seeing from a totals perspective out there in the Horizon League, typically you are going to find some relatively high totals because this is a conference that notoriously has a lot of teams that they bomb it from three-point range. But UEPUI, IUPUI, they wound up just completely pile driving these totals down as they wound up playing 19 unders to 8 overs. That's because they wound up having one of the most historically awful seasons on offense that you are ever going to find, and it wound up resulting in them mimicking a restaurant as they were down to 5 guys that wound up playing in the final game of the season. And here's the teams that wound up playing more unders than our good friends IUPUI, aka UEPUI, last season. As you had Austin Peay, they had 77% of their games to the under. Eastern Illinois, 72.5% of their games to the under. South Florida, along Central Connecticut, they both played 71% of their games to the under. And then you wound up finding our good friends IUPUI. So that's where they wound up clocking in with that regard. And what I wound up finding with the Horizon League as well is that things wound up getting a little bit hairy when it came to conference play. It felt like bookmakers did a very solid job of being able to lock in on these teams, as you wound up having one team play more than 60% of their games to the under. That would be IUPUI. 11 out of their 18 games against the Horizon League competition wound up going under the total line. You really only had one outlier with regards to the overs, and that's the team that now departs from this conference. Illinois-Chicago, 16 overs and 5 unders. They played a relatively slow style. They were able to shoot relatively okay as a collective, and they were playing no defense whatsoever, but you didn't wind up finding necessarily too much demonstrative in conference games. This was one in which you really want to handicap it on a game in and game out basis, and the Horizon League, just in general, one of the more balanced conferences in all of college basketball, one in which it's very close with regards to the geography as well. You do have a team in Robert Morris that they're out there in the great state of Pennsylvania, but you don't wind up having necessarily too long of road trips for any of these teams. So that does wind up helping things out quite a bit. And got a bunch of equally matched teams. And I think that it's going to be another very fascinating year out there in the Ryzen League. And a man that does a great job of being able to break down this fine conference every single year for Blue Ribbon Yearbook. That'd be Blake Lovell. We're going to be taking a look at all the conferences with him next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. Now part of the VSIN Family of Podcasts, as this is the Ryzen League Conference Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg and Pierce, and now part of the VSIN Family of Podcasts, and this is a part of the Ryzen League Conference Preview, as well as Blake Lovell does an absolutely amazing job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, being able to take a look at just so much of what we wind up getting in college basketball, one of the best resources in being able to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. And this is a man that year in and year out for Blue Ribbon Yearbook. He does a great job taking a look at the Ryzen League. If you're looking outside the Ryzen League, he also does a great job covering the SEC for 14 Southeastern. On top of that, you've seen him on such sites as the Clutch Point Sports app, Marching the Madness podcast, the Locked On SEC podcast, list goes on and on. And to be able to follow Blake on Twitter, that's at the Blake Lovell altogether. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, always a pleasure, my friend. We've done it a few times. Look forward to it every time. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, always enjoy, Greg. This year, everyone will be lucky enough to know that we won't be spending 15 minutes gushing over Dennis Gates since he's no longer in the conference anymore. I have a little bit less to say about Cleveland State this year, but yes, always enjoy it, Greg.
Hey, perfect place to start, Cleveland State, because they do wind up losing Dennis Gates. They wound up having a share of the regular season conference crown from last season, but as we know, not only is Dennis Gates gone, but DeMoy Hodge is gone. Trey Gomillion is going to be gone. Now, they do wind up bringing in some additions. They wind up doing a very solid job, in my opinion, of being able to promote from within, to not lose overly many guys with regards to what we wound up seeing last season. And they do wind up bringing in Tristan Anura. He is from Iowa State, someone that was a starter for their team that wound up making the Sweet 16. But no question, this is a team that's going to be taking a little bit of a step down. And in my opinion, they're really going to be needing to function around 6'9" Deontay Johnson this season.
It's a different team, as we know, and as we've said before, it's a new season, but we just kind of know the magic that Dennis Gates worked there, and I think it's going to be interesting, you know, to see if they can recapture that soon. I don't think it's going to be this year, like you said. I think it'll just be a lot of restructuring with the roster and kind of figuring out their new identity going forward, but they do have some solid pieces to work with, and I think that's something that at least, you know, as we always say, Greg, when there's a coaching change, especially I think one like that, you know, your entire roster can look a lot different. You know, some of those guys headed to Missouri with him, some guys headed elsewhere, but it'll be interesting to see kind of where things settle for them. You know, again, they're not going to be a team like they have been in recent years. It's going to be right there at the top competing for a title. I'm most curious just to see kind of what their new outlook looks like, just to kind of see maybe, all right, can they keep some of that momentum going? Because as we had said before many times, Greg, this is a program that just has not been able to find that sustained success over the years. And I think now, you know, with a new coach, I think there's some things that, you know, Robinson will be able to do well there. But you also know that you're, you know, starting from a situation of where you have a lot of work to do to kind of keep that program where it has been. But I think he'll do a good job there. And I think, like you've mentioned, he did a pretty good job kind of restructuring the roster a little bit.
Yep, I do think that they're probably going to be functioning a little bit more down low as well with Deontay Johnson coming back. He was able to give the team nearly 7 rebounds per game, so that's going to be interesting to take a look at. And it's going to be a little bit of a new look for the team that wound up making the NCAA tournament as well. Wright State, they started off horribly last season. They were 2-7 in their first 9 games, won 20 out of their last 27 games, but they do wind up losing their top 2 scorers from last season. Now, they wind up welcoming back one of the better players that we've seen in the last few years from the Horizon League. That'd be Amari Davis. While he was at UW Green Bay 2 seasons ago, 17.5 points and a steal and a half per contest. Ironically enough, you've got Dennis Gates going to Missouri, and Amari Davis is out leaving Missouri. So you've got a lot of a combination there. Trey Kelvin is going to be back in the fold for a Wright State team that they didn't shoot it well from 3, but he did. And Wright State was a completely different team at the end of the season compared to the beginning of the season. And I think that's going to be intriguing to see what you wind up getting out of Amari Davis, because I don't think that the team is going to be as solid down low as they were last season. But the backcourt, I think, has a lot of room to grow with Davis going into the fold.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a more natural fit for Davis. Like you said, someone who came from Green Bay. And, you know, I mean, we always talk about when guys transfer up. And look, I thought he played solid basketball at Missouri, but by no means was he terrible. I mean, he was someone that would average about 9 points a game in the SEC. And it just feels like this is a better situation now to kind of step back into this role. I think he'll be one of the better players in the league just because he does have experience there before, you know, a former All Horizon League selection. So I'm very curious to see how Scott Nagy uses him, because there is familiarity there. And we know how well he's done as a coach in terms of getting some of his best stuff out of his guards. And I think he's someone, you mentioned Calvin's back too, and, you know, some other guys that they're going to have to work with. I think, Greg, it's reached the point with Scott Nagy that you just give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to find a way to put all the pieces together, because usually that's just how it's worked there. And you talked about kind of the slow start they had last year. But once again, what do they do, right? Like, they find a way to put themselves in a position to get to the NCAA tournament. And I think that this will kind of be another situation where he'll lean on Davis. He'll lean on these other guys, with Calvin, of course, too. It is going to be interesting to see kind of how the rest of the things come together. But that's a nice starting point when you have two senior guys like that that can probably do what they'll be able to do and kind of play off each other really well.
They do have a good starting point with that backcourt, and this team has a good starting point with their backcourt as well. Joining me on the podcast for our Rising League preview, we've got Blake Lovell of Blue Ribbon Yearbook. How about IPFW, better known as Fort Wayne? They bring back Jared Godfrey, who wound up giving the team 15 points, 4.5 boards, nearly 4 assists, 2 steals per game, shot 38% from 3. Damian Chung-Kyu, he was able to give up 4 assists. He's a solid 3-point shooter. Now, they do leave a little bit of something to be desired down low. They were in the bottom 25 in the country in terms of offensive rebound rate, but R.A. Kapati, he was able to do a relatively okay job for this team. Deontay Billups is someone I do like as well, and they wind up getting a clean bill of health for Quentin Morton Robinson, who winds up coming in from Radford, and they've got an intriguing D2 transfer, and Anthony Roberts, who wound up averaging over 20 points and 8.5 rebounds per game at St. Cloud State out of Minnesota, and I think that IPFW has a chance to perhaps be able to contend for the conference crown. I don't know if they wind up winning it or not, but this is a team that they were solid last year, and I take a look at them with a lot of their pieces coming back. I feel very good about them.
Yeah, a few teams had more momentum at the end of last season. We know that. You talk about the big winning streak they went on in conference play with guys coming back that played a pretty key role in that finish. So that's going to be something that they will be able to, I think, pick up on and use that a bit. And John Kaufman, you know, good coach. And we know, too, Greg, that was kind of the thing we looked at with this team last year. They're not going to be shy about shooting the three. Shot it pretty well last year when you just looked at the numbers. And I think that's something, too, when you just kind of look at their offensive firepower and what they're capable of. But I thought their defense really came along last year, too. So I think that's something where they kind of became, you know, a team that could do a lot of things well. And, of course, that's pretty important when you can do that. So I'm with you. I'm very intrigued by kind of what they're going to be able to put on the floor this year, knowing that they have some older guys coming back that have been in the program. They understand what it takes. Like I said, really just based off of that finish they had last season. But I think this is a team that will be right there near the top, having a chance to compete for a title because of who they have leading the way. And just knowing that this is, once again, even last year they were an older team, but we know kind of now guys coming back as, you know, graduate students and just kind of being in a position. This should be one of the more experienced teams in the Horizon League for sure. So I'm very intrigued by the possibilities with this Fort Wayne team.
I am intrigued by this team as well, because while they don't wind up bringing back a lot of players, they wind up bringing in a lot of players. How about Youngstown State? They do wind up losing 2 out of their top 3 scorers from last season, but Dwayne Coil, who wound up averaging 15 points, 2.5 assists per game, shot over 40% from 3. He's back. Eric Covington, after being limited to 3 games last season after he logged 12.5 points per game 2 seasons ago, he's back. But then you're bringing in Brandon Rush, a double-digit score from Fairley Dickinson. You want to bring in Malik Green, who prior to him getting injured at Canisius, he was putting up some unworldly numbers. Adrian Nelson from within the conference at the Northern Kentucky Norse, he's someone that's able to give you 7-plus rebounds on any given night. Bryce McBride, a double-digit score. Why is he coming in from Eastern Michigan? And I take a look at this roster, and I don't know if the pieces will gel together, but in terms of sheer talent and sheer talent alone, this is at minimum a top-3 team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Calhoun, I feel like you've talked about this team before, and they've just felt like they've always been right there with a chance to kind of make that huge, huge jump. Now, of course, you know, you look at what they've done. They've won double-digit conference games, I think, 2 of the past 3 seasons. Had a pretty good year last year when you looked at kind of how things unfolded there. You know, another team that I thought finished the season pretty strong for the most part. But now, this is another one of those teams, and I feel like we've said this about Youngstown State several times the past, you know, several years, is it feels like they're set up in a position with all these new guys to really, you know, kind of map that breakthrough and be right there at the top with a chance to win the league. And we've said that about them before, but I think this is a group that when you talk about the new guys they're bringing in, what is it, 5 guys, I think in particular, that you really look at these guys and you see a lot of, you know, paths of these guys being really successful. You talked about Rush coming in and those guys, I mean, it is a team that I think on paper is very intriguing. And one of the things we've talked about before, Greg, and I know it's something that they understand that it may be the one thing that still, if they could just continue to make strides on the defensive end, I think statistically there are still some things there. They just have struggled at times and with consistency on that side of the floor. And that's kind of led to the results of being a little bit up and down and maybe not being, you know, a 24-win team versus a, you know, a 19-win team or something last year. So I think that's something I look at, having a lot of new faces. You know, how does everything come together on the defensive end of the floor? Because I think offensively, they're going to be a pretty good team. But it's just, to me, always goes back to the defense with them. And that's not just looking at the statistics. It's watching them play and just kind of seeing a couple of those things. And we always talk about it. Jared Calhoun's a Bob Huggins disciple, and he's someone that wants his team to really get after it on the defensive end. So I'm curious to see how they continue to develop on that side. But the pieces are there, and they're another team that you put right there squarely, I think, in that conversation of if everything goes right, they'll be one right there near the top.
I think that we can put this team into that bucket as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovell, does a great job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook and does their preview every single year for the Horizon League. And that would be Oakland. They wind up bringing in perhaps the biggest name via the transfer portal as Rocket Watts, who we all remember from Michigan State. He was an all-freshman performer in the Big Ten, and then wound up having a fall-off from there and really just did not perform at all at Mississippi State last season. He winds up coming into the fold, but we always ask the question about Youngstown State with regards to defense. Boy, is that a question with regards to Oakland, because sometimes they play defense that would make Casper the Friendly Ghost blush. So that is a little bit of an issue. They bring in Keaton Harvey, someone who at Missouri State was able to average right around 7.5 points, 4.5 boards, shot 43.5% from three 2 seasons ago. That's relatively rock solid, but I just feel like Rocket Watts is probably going to be able to put up numbers, but he's not necessarily a great three-point shooter in a Horizon League that you really need to be able to shoot the three. And we saw with Oakland as well last year, they looked like the best team in the conference for much of the season, went straight down the toilet bowl because they didn't have a lot of depth, and they don't have a lot of depth again this year, so I'm a little bit bearish on them personally. I mean, I think that Rocket Watts, once again, puts up big numbers. You do wind up also bringing back one of the top players in terms of assists per game from a few seasons ago as well. So that is going to be absolutely massive for them and Jalen Moore. But I take a look at Oakland, and I think that they might wind up putting up a lot of hollow numbers this year.
You know, the one thing I looked at, Greg, when I kind of started studying them was just this is still going to be a fairly young team. And I think that's something, too, that we look at and we kind of compare them. You know, we just talked about some of these other teams that have so many of these upperclassmen coming back, specifically seniors coming back. There are a couple of older guys. I mean, you know, you talk about Harvey and those kind of guys coming in. But this is still a team that's going to rely on some younger guys. And, like, I think you just kind of know that going in. And I think it's how those guys continue to develop overall and knowing that, you know, Greg Campy has added some new guys to the mix. I don't know exactly where to place them. Like, that's what we've talked about, kind of the string of teams here recently. And you feel like you have a much better idea of where some of these teams are going to be at, whether it's Wright State, whether it's Fort Wayne, Youngstown State. I don't know where I would put Oakland right now. I think they're a team that's just kind of hard to figure out because I think they are – and we always say this when we do these previews, is like there's some of these teams that are just wait and see teams. And I think that they are firmly in that category of you can see some of the things that could go well. You can see some of the things that maybe will not go as well as perhaps they want them to. You know, like you said, you've got a Rocket Watts coming in, guys like that who feel like that they should be able to perform better maybe than they did in a previous stop. But I still don't know, you know, all the way, you know, what that depth's going to look like. And you said it. I mean, there's a lot of players on the roster. There's a lot of people to choose from, but it's just what does the rotation look like? I don't exactly know yet with them. Not to say that they can't be one of the better teams in the league, but I think putting them in that wait-and-see group because I just right now I still don't have a great grasp on maybe where they're going to be at, not just in November, but, you know, what's this team look like in mid-January, early February?
And I'm intrigued to see what this team looks like in February as well. And that would be Robert Morris, as they bring back a lot of pieces from last year. And after Rasheem Dunn left the program, it wasn't like they wanted getting a lot of straight-up wins, but they were sort of the thorn in the side of everyone last year. It felt like they wound up losing a lot of close games. They were on the cusp. Andy Toole, I think, is actually a relatively solid coach for this team. They do wind up bringing back Anak Cheeks, who I really liked, right around 9.5 points, 5.5 boards, solid 3-point shooter. Winthrop transfer Josh Corbin is someone that a few years ago he was able to shoot over 40% from 3-point range. Trey James is a former top 5 recruit from the state of Kentucky from a few seasons ago that comes in from Iona. And I take a look at this Robert Morris team, and I don't think that they're going to be barreling down the hatches and being in the top 3 in the conference or anything like that, but I think that this team is going to be very much improved after they wound up going 8-28 in conference in their first 2 years as a Horizon League member.
Yeah, you would think it's one of those things, you know, we talk about this in all sports, but it's like at some point it's like the law of averages where things will have to average out to where they're going to win some of those close games they lost last year. And I think that's kind of one of those things when you look at it kind of deceiving. They go 8-24, but, you know, you look back at some of those games last year, what was it? They lost, I think, several in a row by a handful of points or less. There were quite a few of those Horizon League games. I'd say the majority of the Horizon League games, they were right there with a chance, but it just did not all come together. And I think that's where you would expect some of that to be a little bit different this year, just because, you know, you have a team that's going to bring some guys back that do have some experience. Obviously, they were another team, I think, that just couldn't get stops defensively. That just seemed to be really the common theme for them and just giving up as many points as they did. I think those are the things that you're certainly circling if you're Robert Morris and you want to kind of make that jump, like you mentioned, Greg, I don't think they're going to be a team that's competing for a title or anything, but I think there's the possibility they can make some moves. I don't know how significant those moves are going to be in comparison to others, but looking at the roster, there's some talent to work with here. And like I said, I just think it's one of those things where sometimes throughout a course of a season, you just lose some of those games and you just cannot find a way to win them. Maybe, you know, you can build off of that and win some of those games this year. Maybe it's a little bit different, but still feels like a team that's kind of maybe trying to put themselves in the middle of the pack there somewhere. But getting into that upper echelon seems like it's still probably going to be a challenge.
I agree with you there. I think that there will be a little bit of improvement for Robert Morris, but they're still a ways away. I don't know if we're going to see any improvement with this team, though, as UW-Green Bay, in my opinion, I still cannot get over the fact that they fired Link Darner 2 years ago. It has just led to an impossible situation for Will Ryan, who I think that he's a solid coach, but it felt like he was just put in a position to fail. And as far, the program is, what, 5-25 last season. They're 13-42 overall in the last two seasons after having a winning season for their previous 5 years under Link Darner. And this team was 355th in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage. They bring in Ryan Wade, who wound up putting up right around 6 points per game at Holy Cross. Brock Hefner, who is from the state of Wisconsin but didn't play at all from Hawaii. These are their big pickups after they wound up losing four of their top five scorers from last season. I just don't see any path to UW-Green Bay going anywhere other than the bottom three in this conference. I wish I could be more bullish on this team. I grew up 45 minutes away from the city of Green Bay, but I mean, I am just still distraught that they wanted firing Link Darner, and right now they're paying for their sins.
Yeah, you said it, and I've said it before. I mean, I like Will Ryan. He's a good coach, but I think he's in an impossible situation. You know, not only are you someone who has to make that jump like he did from the non-Division I level, coming in, taking over a program for a coach that a lot of people liked and they were having success. And as you and I remember, we had the discussion not long after, Greg. It's just like, we had no idea why they made the move. It made no sense. But, you know what happens after that. You have guys leave the program. You had some stability there, but everything just kind of fell apart and you're having to rebuild everything almost for no reason, because again, you had some pretty good thing going for a little while there. So you said kind of an impossible situation. That's sort of what it feels like here. I mean, look, they could be better for all I know, but I don't think they're going to be significantly better to the point to where maybe even they're hitting double digit wins. I mean, look, they won five last year, as we know. I said eight the year before. I think if you win 10, you're feeling pretty good about things. Like you said, you're basically starting from scratch for a program that really felt like it didn't need to start from scratch. You know, it was one of those that we kind of expected year in and year out. Even if they weren't winning the Horizon League or something, they were going to be competitive and they're going to be right there in that middle part, pushing those teams to the top. It's just not that way right now. I think the roster, there's a lot that you just don't know with it, especially compared to the other teams in the conference. And for that reason, I'm with you. I think this is probably safely a bottom tier team.
Yep, I am in agreement with you there. And there's another team out there in Wisconsin that can their coach. This one, a little bit more justified, is joining me on the podcast. We do have Blake Lovell, does a great job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. That'd be UW-Milwaukee, because everything went down the toilet bowl for this team last season. After five straight seasons below 500 and going 10-22 with having a top 10 recruit on the roster in the Horizon League. You know what? Pat Baldwin got the boot. Pat Baldwin Jr. became a first-round pick with the Warriors, which his basketball stock wound up going down about as rapidly as Enron's did back in the day. But now it is going to be Queens NC coach Bart Lundy that takes over the program. And for those that don't know about Queens NC, they go up to the D1 level this year. They are one of the most consistent D2 level teams out there. Did a very good job there. Vin Baker Jr. is going to be coming back, 5.3 rebounds per game. But you mentioned that the fact that UW-Green Bay is going to be building from scratch. This team is as well, but they bring in Jalen Johnson, 16.7.5 rebounds out there in the SWAC, coming in from Alabama State. They wound up really hitting the JUCO front as Justin Thomas, Angelo Stewart, two top 100 JUCO recruits by JUCO Recruiting. They wind up coming in. Stewart wound up notching 22 points per game. And you wind up bringing in Jordan Radcliffe, who at D2 UNC Pembroke shot 44% from three-point range. Now, I think that it's going to be a little bit of a rebuild for UW-Milwaukee, but I think we're both in agreement that this coaching firing and the hiring want to make a little bit more sense than UW-Green Bay did a few years ago. And with Bart Lundy, I like him as a coach. Probably going to take a few years, but I do like the move.
Yeah, and you wonder if this is kind of the opposite, where, you know, maybe it is a program that you feel like has needed something, and maybe this is one where, even though, like, you can't maybe clearly define the path for them to, like I said, maybe be a, such a surprise team that they're right there in the, you know, top half or something. But maybe there is a little bit of optimism to where you can look at this. And then, like you said, bring over a coach that's had a lot of success. You know, now you bring in some pieces that I think intriguing, probably the best word. There's some guys there that you feel like can come in and have some success right away. Maybe I'm more optimistic than I should be, but I think it is probably just that situation of thinking, all right, this was a team that just unfortunately was not really going anywhere and was just kind of, you know, completely just stalled out. They could never kind of make that jump they wanted to make after that first season. You know, can they use that to be able, knowing that the expectations are not high? I mean, look, this is a team that, again, won 10 games last year. There's a coaching change, a lot of new faces on the roster. The expectation isn't to win the Horizon League title or even challenge for it this year, but can they be a team maybe that can fly under the radar a little bit? I think they'll be one that probably gets better throughout the season, and maybe by the end of the year, you know, maybe they're having a chance to really compete with some of these other teams. I don't know. I think I'm more intrigued just because it is kind of a fresh start, and like we said, it feels like much more of a justified fresh start than some of these other situations we've talked about.
No question about it. As joining me on the podcast, we know Blake Lovell does a great job at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, taking a look at the Horizon League year in and year out for them, as Northern Kentucky has now won at least 20 games in 5 out of their last 6 seasons. We recall they wound up having John Brandon go to Cincinnati and then leave Cincinnati ever since then, and things have been relatively stable for this team. And I like the guy that wound up busting out last year in Sam Vincent. As a true freshman, 11 points, 4 boards, 3.5 assists, 2 steals per contest. Very much a guy that did a great job on defense. And then Trey Robinson, in terms of steals force on a per-minute basis, was in the top 25 at all of college basketball. Marquise Warwick, solid 3-point shooter. Now, you do wind up losing Adrian Nelson, who winds up staying in the conference to Youngstown State. But I do take a look at this team, bringing back Chris Brandon, who did a very good job of being able to hit the offensive glass. I do think that the loss of Nelson is going to wind up hurting them a little bit. But getting back Trayvon Faulkner for a 5th year, as being intrigued on this Northern Kentucky team, I don't know if they wind up winning the conference, but I see them back in the top half of this conference once again.
Yeah, I think I put Darren Horn in that category of, you know, kind of coaches now in the Horizon League where you just sort of give them the benefit of the doubt and feel like they're going to make it work. Because like you mentioned, when he took over there, the Brandon thing didn't work out at Cincinnati like everyone maybe thought it would. But, I mean, clearly, Horn has been able to just to kind of keep things rolling right along. When you look at how many wins they've had these recent years, nabbing double-digit wins every single season in the conference, of course, won 14 last year. I think they're one that you're going to put right there challenging for the title, just because they are a team that is kind of built that sustainable success, which, as we've seen sometimes in the Horizon League, is not easy to do because you just have teams that kind of fly all over the place sometimes. But I think they are set up for another good season. You know, you can pretty much expect them, I think, to hit that 20-win mark somewhere in there, and they'll have a chance to challenge for the title. And it goes back to kind of Darren Horn understanding what has worked. He's found the right fit for him. And when you bring back some of the pieces that they're going to bring back, there's a lot of reasons for optimism for them. And yeah, I'd put them right there in that category of these other teams we talked about, in terms of you'd be more surprised than not if they're not challenging for the title.
And there's reason for optimism out there in the great state of Michigan as well, because Detroit, they wind up bringing back Antoine Davis, who had eked out of the last 4 seasons.
Greg, he's been there 18 years. I think he's been there like 15 years at this point. I really do.
And his career low was last year in terms of points per game at 23.9. His career low for points per game is 23.9. It's absolutely insane what we've seen out of him. Now the question becomes, what do you wind up getting out of everyone else? Because Jaden Stone is someone that was highly touted by 24/7 Sports, a top 5 recruit from the state of Kansas. Didn't wind up playing a lot for Grand Canyon. He is going to be coming in. You do wind up losing a lot of the ancillary pieces from last season, like Mato Asich and company. So that is going to be hurting them a little bit. But I do think that a clean bill of health for Jordan Phillips, who he wound up averaging 7.5 points per game, shot right around 38% from 3 a few years ago at UT Arlington, that's going to be big once again. Question becomes, what are you going to be able to get around Antoine Davis? Because this guy is a walking bucket, one of the best peer scorers in all of college basketball. But the reason why Detroit hasn't been able to take that step forward is that they play absolutely no defense whatsoever, and there's been nobody to help out Antoine Davis.
It would be interesting, I think, if you and I went back and played our exact conversation on Detroit from the past 2 seasons. I guarantee you it would be the exact same. And look, there's yep. No reason to kind of veer off course from that, because it is the same thing. It's like we've said the same stuff over and over with them. It's all right. Antoine Davis is back. He's going to put up 40 at some point this season, maybe more. He'll average at least 25. Then it's like, all right, what about everything else? And that's kind of been the same discussion. They will beat some teams just because they have him on the roster. And they'll probably beat some teams maybe you don't think they're going to beat just because he is out there on the floor. But because their defense is what it is, because there's still been a lot of inconsistency elsewhere, it's kind of led them to kind of stay, what I think, Greg, is just kind of stuck in that same place where everybody is always, I think, optimistic going into the season. And I will be too with them to say that we see that. Like, they can get there. It's just, has it all come together yet? Maybe the way you thought it would. Look, they've won back-to-back years. They've had improvement where they've, what, I think, won 10 conference games back-to-back seasons now. So they're making strides in that area. But it's, can they take that next step, kind of doing the same things they've been doing? That's still my question with Detroit. It hasn't changed all that much. You know, you've got the best player in the conference out there from a scoring standpoint. There's no doubt about it. He's going to put up a lot of points. It's just the same stuff. Can they be significantly improved defensively? If they can, they'll compete for a title. Can they have some of these other guys step up, knowing you got some new faces coming in? Can you have them kind of play off Antoine Davis very well? If they can, I think they'll have a chance to compete, you know, near the top. But if some of these other things stay the same, which I think not necessarily have stayed the same, but it's just they're not able to kind of get over that hump, especially defensively at times when you get in some of those close games, maybe. I don't know. Again, I think we're probably saying the same thing we've said the past couple seasons, and I don't know that there's been anything this offseason to make me change my mind significantly to think that this is maybe one of those where, all right, now they make that huge jump. All of a sudden, they win 20-something games this year, win the Horizon League, and look out. I don't know if I would go that far, but they're still interesting because, you know, they have someone like Davis and he's going to make it entertaining.
I can't wait until our 2037 Horizon League Conference preview and Antoine Davis has found a way to be able to get like his 15th extra year of eligibility. We're still talking about him at Detroit coming off another year in which he played no defense whatsoever but finished in the middle of the Horizon League. So hopefully we wind up getting that at some point, but typically, on a lot of podcasts, they say that they save the best for last. I wish I could say that about IUPUI. 51.3 points per game were the second fewest of any D1 college basketball team in the last 12 years. And in the last 12 years, we have seen the shot clock go from 35 to 30 on the three-point line, wind up adjusting a little bit. So there's that. They were the lone team since 2000 to wind up playing absolutely no subs whatsoever in a basketball game since Jacksonville State versus Charleston Southern when they wound up facing off against Oakland in the Rise of the League Conference Tournament. And this speaks to how bad Oakland was. They were actually not pulling away from IUPUI in that game. And I will say for IUPUI, for a team that had five guys at the end of the year trying to mimic a restaurant at that point, they actually were relatively competitive. They bring back Zach Gunn, who wound up missing all of last season. He transfers in from Ball State. They wind up losing much of last season, but I feel like this is actually a relatively well-coached team, as strange as that is to say. They were just a victim of some very bad luck. Dylan Hamilton, he winds coming in after he spent a year at Western Michigan, tore it up at the D2 level for IUPUI. It's going to be another very long year, but I did wind up seeing a lot of fight from what was one of the most unprecedented and unfortunate situations that we've ever seen in college basketball last year.
Yeah, it was rough. Like you said, it's a team that wins three games. What was it? I think they beat Robert Morris. That was the only Division I win. But you mentioned it. I know it's crazy to say that about a three-win team, but you could see some things. Like, there were some things that you saw them do as well as they could. Now, it wasn't, again, going to compare to some of these other teams, but you could see some things that were at least clicking at times. And I think that's all you can ask for, again, based on the situation and knowing that, you know, Matt Crenshaw was going to have his hands full no matter what. And I think when you look at the roster, they don't have a shortage of players on the roster. I'm not saying that in a demeaning way, but, like, it is one of those teams where when you are struggling the way they've had and knowing that you're basically just putting anything out there you can and trying to figure out what works. They have, you know, options, so they can at least try to figure out some of these rotations maybe coming into the season. Maybe some of these new guys can come in and be some of those pieces that fit well into that. Look, they're still going to be a team that's going to be near the bottom, as we said, if not the bottom. But you hope to find some of that progress, and I think it is one where you kind of understand that there are no expectations coming into the season based off of last year. All you try to do is improve on that. And I don't think this is a team that just you blame the coaching staff and say, oh, there's no way. We all know, like, that's not the reason here. It's just this was a team that was basically, we talk about starting from scratch. I mean, my goodness, like, this is one where you're in a position where you just can't win. And we'll see. Can they win a few more games this year? I don't think they're going to be one necessarily, as we said, that's going to make that just big jump by any means. But can they just find the pieces to put in place to maybe be more competitive and to win some more of these games?
Yeah, I agree with you. And Bryce Monroe is going to be coming in. He was at San Diego last year, two seasons ago at Sam Houston State. He was putting up right around 10 points per game. So at the very least, there were signs of fight from this team, which you can't say for necessarily all college basketball teams towards the end of last season. So that was something that was very positive and something that is always positive. Getting you on this podcast, Blake, I mentioned that you always do the Horizon League Conference preview for Blue Ribbon Yearbook every single year, one of the best publications for getting folks set for the upcoming college basketball season. And I know you do work with like 57 different entities, and you do them all very well. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that's all on tap for you.
Yeah, always enjoy, Greg. Like you said, Blue Ribbon Yearbook, that will be out soon enough. So you can check that out at blueribbonyearbook.com. That will come out either sometime late next month or early September, as always. So you can check that out. Great resource for everything college basketball, as you know. And yeah, everything else, you can just follow me on Twitter at TheBlakeLevel.
And Blake does an amazing job taking a look at the game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. He, much like myself, starting his conference previews, doing a lot of the legwork for that Blue Ribbon Yearbook, which comes out every single year. Great resource for anyone looking to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. And Blake always does a great job when he joins me for the Horizon League Conference preview, delivered the goods once again today. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Coming up next, it is that time to fly, because it could be my projector or finish for the Horizon League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva, also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Oops Peters, and now a part of the VSiN family on podcast, as it is a Rising League Conference preview edition. And a big thanks to Blake Lovell for joining me in the last segment, being able to take a look at all these conferences, what we're going to be seeing in the Rising League in general. He is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to being able to take a look at college basketball. He, much like myself, starting up with a lot of these conference previews, and he joins me every single year for the Rising League preview, always delivers great information, did so once again today. So a big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And now it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector or finish for the Rising League once again, since I did not wind up hitting upon the news and notes of college basketball today with doing a conference preview. Anything that I missed from Wednesday, that is going to be taken care of on the podcast tomorrow, so have no fear there. Now let's get down to it, and we now have 11 teams out there in the Rising League, and coming in at dead last, that'd be UW Green Bay. I mean, it is shocking that I'm not going with IUPUI in this spot, but I actually saw a little bit of fight in IUPUI, and they've got a transfer that I'm going to be hitting upon in a minute. I think it's going to be able to help them out a little bit, but for Will Ryan, he just should not have been given this job to start with. He winds up coming in from D2 Wheeling, that's out there in West Virginia. He was right around 500 there, and why UW Green Bay wound up letting go of Link Garner a few years ago, I mean, that's still baffles my mind. I mean, it's my home state of Wisconsin, and this is just an embarrassment of a program right now. They were 355th in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Now, Nate Jenkins, her best three-point shooter, had 6.4 points per game, shot 35.5% from three. He's back. You wind up bringing in Brock Hefner. He was someone that at Hawaii, right around a 6'6", 6'7", little bit of a combo player from Grafton, Wisconsin. He's going to be coming in, but he didn't see the floor at all. You're bringing Ryan Wade, who averaged 5.8 points per game two seasons ago at Holy Cross. Whoop-de-doo. He couldn't get out there on the floor. For Central Michigan last season, he's a career 29.5% three-point shooter. Team went 5-25 last year. Just disgraceful. UW Green Bay, it's a program that has actually put together some good basketball. When Brian Wardle was there, this was a team that legitimately was trying to fight for an NCAA tournament at large. Now they find themselves dead last in my projector of finish in the Rising League. They can't rebound. They can't shoot. They lose four out of their top five scorers from last year. Just a disgrace. I don't want to talk about this anymore. UW Green Bay, dead last in my projector of finish, and one of the legitimately worst teams in all of college basketball. At number 10, IUPUI. Congratulations, IUPUI. My grudge against UW Green Bay for getting rid of Link Darnamer wound up putting you up a notch, as this Jaguars team averaged 51.3 points per game last season. That is the second lowest in the last 12 years of all of college basketball, and despite all that, this team actually only lost to Oakland by, I believe, 11 or 12 points in the conference tournament when they were down to five guys. They were the first team since 2000 that they didn't have a single substitute enter into the game. Matt Crenshaw is actually not a terrible coach. I mean, it was just a case of which Murphy's Law hit this team last season. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Over half their roster wound up getting banged up. Now you wind up having a healthy Zach Gunn, who winds up coming in from Ball State. He's not going to light it up. Right around 4.5 points per game at 6'6". He's able to bury a couple threes. But Jonah Carrasco, he winds up returning after he wound up having 4.5 points. Right around 4 boards per game. Wound up showing some signs of brightness. A little bit of a 6'9" big man that should be able to help out this team. And then you do wind up bringing in someone that I think is going to be able to help out this backcourt quite a bit, as he wound up beginning his career while he was at Sam Houston State, being able to put up right around 10 or 11 points per game last season. Last year with the Toreros, didn't do a ton. That'd be Bryce Monroe. He was able to put up right around 6.5 points, a little bit over 2 assists per game last season. A relatively solid 3-point shooter, shot right around 34.5% from 3 last season. He's going to be given the keys to the offense, and I think that he's going to be able to do a good job of maneuvering. I mean, it's not a lot to speak of. It's going to be another rough year for IUPUI, but at the very least, you could sense that the program is going in the right direction. With UW Green Bay, I wouldn't be surprised if, because everyone's so cheap over there, if they wind up going to the D2 level, maybe even the D3 level in a few years and joining our good friends UW Oshkosh and Company, because, I mean, that is just such a poorly run sports organization in general. But that said, IUPUI going to be in for a little bit of a tough year, but you also wind up bringing in Chris Olsen, 6'9", gentleman that wound up seeing a couple starts at Arizona State. That should be able to help this team out a little bit. IUPUI in for a rough year, not as rough as our good friends at UW Green Bay. So I've got them number 10 in my projector of finish. At number 9, I'm going to be going to UW Milwaukee. So going to be a rough year for Wisconsin schools that aren't in a power conference this season. But with UW Milwaukee, I do like the hiring that they wound up making with Bart Lundy. Did a very good job of being able to coach up Queens NC. A lot of people forget Queens NC two seasons ago, the 2020-2021 season, they were in a multi-team event with Belmont, George Mason, and also Howard. They knock off Howard by double digits. They took George Mason down to the wire. They were playing very competitively with Belmont. They won 30 games last season at the D2 level. Very up-tempo team that would consistently average over 80 points per game. So you've got some exciting basketball being played. They do wind up bringing in Keon Edwards, a former top 100 freshman by 24/7 Sports, who's a little bit of a 6'8" point forward. Jalen Johnson, he comes in from the SWAC, averaged 16 points, 7.3 rebounds per game at Alabama State. Now, the Ryzen League, higher level than the SWAC, but I am excited about him. Justin Thomas, Angelo Stewart, they're a pair of top 100 rated JUCO guys according to JUCORecruiting.com. Stewart was able to put up 22 points per game, shot 40.5% from three-point range. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for these guys to mesh, but it is clear that Bart Lundy wants to get back to playing exciting basketball, having this team bomb it from three-point range, which they did during the 2020-2021 season. Last year, this team was just so handcuffed by building everything around Pat Baldwin Jr., and then when Pat Baldwin Jr. wound up being injured, and quite frankly, was one of the biggest disappointments that we've seen in college basketball in a very long time. It just wound up going straight down the toilet bowl for them. They were terribly coached. Now they're going to be well coached. You're going to need a little bit of time to mesh, but I wouldn't be surprised if UW-Milwaukee gets off to a little bit of a rough start to the season, and then at the end of the year, they're a very tough out for a lot of these teams. So I'm actually a little bit more bullish on UW-Milwaukee. Still going to be a rough year. Got them number 9 in my projector of finish, but we see some signs of brightness for them. Number 8 is going to be Robert Morris. Good old Bobby Morris wound up having a really rough year last year, but after they wound up having their point guard and Rasheem Dunn leave the program, things actually wound up getting better for this team. They wind up returning Michael Green, the transfer from Bryan, 10.5 points, right around 3.3 assists per contest. I like Khalil Spear. He comes in from the bracket Bucks and Bucknell Bison, 14.5 points, 7.5 boards out of him. And this is a team that I think is going to be a little bit better down low. Enoch Cheeks is a little bit of a Swiss Army knife of a guy. 9 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists, shot 36.5% from 3-point range. They do lose their top 3-point shooter in Cam Ferris, who wound up shooting right around 40% from 3-point range. But Matt Myers, he wound up starting in 23 games. He didn't take a lot of threes, which is why I say that Ferris was their top 3-point shooter. But he shot 44% from 3-point range when he did wind up getting minutes for this team. Someone who was able to put up 6 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. So I do like the upside of him. And then when it comes to Robert Morris, they have added a couple guys in terms of the transfer portal as well. I don't think that's going to be anything earth-shattering, but Trey James, he's 6'9". He was the number 3 rated freshman from the state of Kentucky for the year 2021. Went to Iona, just did not wind up being able to see a lot of minutes in general for the team. But Josh Corbin, someone who wound up shooting right around 40% from 3 for a Winthrop team that wound up making the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago. That should be a little bit impactful for this Robert Morris team. Andy Toole, I think, is a relatively solid coach. It's been a rough last 2 years for Robert Morris, but I think that they're starting to acclimate to the level of competition that they play against. So I've got Robert Morris, number 8 in my projector of finish. At number 7, I'm going to be going with Cleveland State. With Cleveland State, it's just really rough losing a coach like Dennis Gates. And on top of that, with Dennis Gates, you wind up losing so many of the guys that wound up making this team successful, like Trey Gomillion. You lose Jamoy Hodge as well. So this is a team that's going to be built around their returning big man, Deontay Johnson, who was able to give you 7.5 points, 6 boards per game. And Deshaun Parker is a guy that's able to dole it out. 3 assists per game, began his career at James Madison, and while I was at James Madison, showed that he could be a little bit more of a demonstrative scorer. They did wind up picking up a good junior college transfer, which under Dennis Gates, they did a good job with their JUCO guys. Demoy Hodge was actually one of them. And Jameer Price, he winds up coming in from Mineral Area College, was able to put up 13.5 points, a little bit over 3.5 assists per game, shot 44% from 3. Tristan and Aruna, he is going to be coming in from Iowa State as well. He was a starter for that team that wound up making the Sweet 16 last season. And Tay Williams was a junior college player that wound up playing at John A. Logan. He wound up putting up right around 12.5 points per contest. I believe that he also wound up beginning his career at Tennessee Tech as well. A top 50 guy according to JUCORecruiting.com. So Cleveland State, I think that they still got a lot of the defensive grit from what they wind up losing. And Dennis Gates is going to be a little bit of a change with the coaching regime. And they did a good job of being able to find a relatively solid fit, being able to keep as many guys in there as humanly possible, not going way off the reservation with regards to the coaching hire. But that said, I do think that it is going to be a little bit rough in year number 1 for Daniel Robertson, but I do think that things are going to be relatively solid. I think that he's going to be able to keep Cleveland State towards the middle after the conference. So I've got them number 7 in my projector of finish. And number 6, I'm going to be going with Detroit. We were talking about with Blake Lovell. You know what you're going to be able to get out of Antoine Davis. He had a career low 23.9 points per game last season. A career low! But With that said, what are you going to be able to get out of anyone else whatsoever? Matt Johnson is going to be back. He was able to average 7.5 points, 4 board shots, 42% from 3-point range last season. And really the question that you've got with the supporting cast, Jordan Phillips, 6'7" combo player, was looking to come in from UT Arlington last season, wound up missing all of last season due to an injury, but at 6'7", he's able to shoot it at right in the neighborhood, about 38% from 3-point range, log 7.5 points per game. So he's got a little bit of upside in him, but that said, this is also a case in which they wind up losing a lot of their supporting pieces from last season. As for Detroit, they were really able to get some good production out of Madu Asech. He is going to be out of the fold. No, Waterman, he was able to do a very solid job as well, being able to shoot some threes as a 6'10", a little bit of a combo player. He is going to be out of the fold as well. So this is a Detroit team that they are in a little bit of transition right now. I still think that this is going to be a team that's going to be rather competitive, because when you've got Antoine Davis, you've got yourself a shot on any given night. But that said, it's just a case of which you've got nobody around Antoine Davis. I have a little bit of a question mark with regards to DeBenzie Anderson as well. He's a former four-star that wound up beginning his career at Indiana, couldn't find his footing at Indiana, went to Loyola Chicago, didn't play at all last season, and in the games that he wound up playing for Loyola Chicago, really didn't see the floor at all. Just a guy that's had a lot of wasted potential, in my opinion. It's been a little bit of a sad situation. I don't think that he's going to be able to elevate this program overly much, and as a result, I've got Detroit number 6 in terms of my projector of finish. At number 5, we're going to be going with the Grizzlies of Oakland. And with Oakland, they do wind up bringing in the biggest name in the transfer portal, in my opinion, of any team out there in this conference, and that would be the fact that Rocket Watts is going to be coming in. And with Rocket Watts, I mean, he wound up being a Big Ten all-freshman selection, but with Rocket Watts as well, the guy is a little bit of a knuckle case in his shot selection. Overall, he has been able to average for his career right around 7.3 points per game, shooting 26.9% from three, and he's not even too much of a facilitator. Did wind up having 2.7 assists per game when he was playing for Michigan State during the 2020-2021 season, but it was very apparent that he was not a fit at Mississippi State. And you also do wind up having back a guy that's going to take the pressure off of him in Jalen Moore. Now with Moore, 15.5 points, 4.3 assists, he has averaged 15.5 points, 4.3 rebounds, his 8 assists per game the last two seasons. That leads all of college basketball. But with Jalen Moore as well, you know what led the country last season? It's 4.5 turnovers per game. That is an issue. This is an Oakland team that year in and year out, they can't guard their own shadow. They do wind up bringing in Keaton Harvey as well. That should be able to give the team some shooting. Shot 43.5% from 3-point range, and that's going to be big, because Oakland, out of 358 D1 teams, in the bottom 25 in terms of 3-point shooting percentage last season. So that was a big giant issue for this team. And for Oakland, they got decimated on the glass, allowing 11.8 offensive rebounds per game. So they are really going to need Trey Thompson to be able to step up. 13.5 points, 5.5 boards, 1.4 steals, and a block per contest. So he was solid. But this was a Oakland team that they really went with pretty much a 6.5-man rotation for much of the season. They're going to need to have a little bit more depth. And I think a big reason why they wound up having the fall-off that they did towards the end of last season is that Greg Campy did not wind up having a lot of guys that could spell someone like a Jamal Cain for even like 5 or so minutes. I mean, if they could just get a little bit out of their bench, this wasn't going to be a team that they could have made some noise in the NCAA tournament. But no, instead it was just the same 5 guys going out there, and that led to a big giant disappointment of a back half of the season for Oakland. I do think that Rocket Watts is a solid player, but I also think that he's a little bit of a black hole in which you wind up giving him the ball and you're not going to see it back out there once again, and that could wind up actually hurting this Oakland team. So I've got them number 5 in terms of my projector finish. At number 4, I'm going to be going Northern Kentucky. I like the way that the Norse have been able to build up this program. 20 plus wins in 5 out of their last 6 years, aside from the pandemic shrunken year of 2020-2021 and Sam Vincent. He was one of the most underrated true freshmen in the country last season. 11 points, 4.3 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2.1 steals per game. This team does a good job of being able to get the ball. Trey Robinson, top 25 in the country in terms of steals force on a permanent basis, and then got Trayvon Faulkner, who's going to be coming back in the fold. He's going to look to get back to his 2020-2021 form. He had it that year, 16.5 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals per game. Now, last year, he shot 37.5% from 3 years before. It's more around 27.5% from distance. And for Northern Kentucky, they were the best rebounding team in this conference. They do wind up losing Adrian Nelson to a team that I'm going to allude to in a few minutes in Youngstown State. But Northern Kentucky, just year in and year out, they have been a top 4 team in this conference. You've got a lot of good talent that is going to be returning for them. You don't wind up bringing in a lot of transfers, but Xavier Rhodes is the one guy that you do bring in. He was at the D2 level for Florida Southern last season, 14.5 points, 5 assists, 1.7 steals per game at the non-D1 level. You've got a bunch of guys on this Northern Kentucky team. They're Swiss Army Knights. Really, other than Chris Brandon, you got a lot of guys that they play a good positionless brand of basketball. You've been able to see the three-point shooting really be elevated for the team. Marquise Warren, after he wound up having a few rough games to begin the season, he was able to average 17 points per game on 35.9% three-point shooting last season as well. So I do think that Northern Kentucky, if they're able to iron things out in terms of their free throw shooting as well, they were right around 180th in the country. This is a team that, under Darren Horn, they're going to be able to make some noise. I set them number 4 in my projector or finish. Number 3, we go with Wright State. And for Wright State, I do think that losing Tanner Holden along with Grant Bazile, that is just massive. These two guys wound up averaging a combined 38.5 points and 15.5 rebounds per game. But you do bring back Trey Calvin. Calvin is someone that I absolutely love, as he was the team's top three-point shooter last year, hitting right around 38% of his triples. Shot for 14.5 points, right around 3.3 boards, 3.5 assists, 1.5 steals per game. So does a very solid job with that regard. And also missing with Bazile along with Holden, both of these guys shot above 78% at the free throw line. So that is going to be a little bit of an issue for this bunch. But you do take a look at Wright State, and what I like is that Keaton Norris was someone that was able to shoot right around 45.5% from three-point range in the final 13 games of the season. He was able to put it together. You got to figure that he is going to be doing for a few more minutes. Blake Sisley, he was able to shoot 39% from three-point range as a 6'8" wing from Evansville last year. That should be able to give the team some reinforcements. Depth is going to be an issue, but you wind up bringing in Amari Davis. The last year that he was in the Rising League, 17.4 points, 1.4 steals per game. Not a guy that is going to bury a lot of threes, but he wound up playing in the SEC last season. So going back to the Rising League, going to be a little bit of easy street for him. Tim Finke is someone I like as well. Shoots right around 33% from three, 9 points, 5 rebounds per game. That was actually a little bit of a fall off from what he wound up having 2 seasons ago, where he had 10 points, 7 boards, shot 41% from three-point range. That's a nice little bit of a combo player. I do think that you've got some potential here with Wright State. Losing the top 2 scores, that is going to be a little bit of an issue, though, and that's why I've got Wright State number 3 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 2, we go with the Penguins. We go with Youngstown State. Jared Calhoun has really been able to build something with this program. Now, you wind up losing Tevian Olsson along with Michael Akuchi. These guys were able to average about 25.5 points per game. Akuchi led the way with 7.8 rebounds per game, but Dwayne Coyle, the team's leader in assists last year, with right around 2.5 assists per game, 15 points per contest. He is back, a very capable three-point shooter, made 41% of his threes, over 83% of his free throws, and Youngstown State did the little things well. They shot as collective 76% at the free throw line. That was in the top 35 in all of college basketball. They were a relatively solid offensive rebounding team as well. They do a okay job of being able to generate steals. That's something that they need to work on a little bit more. You did have Coyle be able to give you a steal per game. Tyvion Olsson was one of your top guys. But getting back here at Covington, that is massive as well. Limited to just 3 games last year due to injury, so this is pretty much year number 6 for him. And last time he was fully healthy, 12.5 points, 4.5 boards, 1.5 assists per game, shot right around 34.5% from three-point range for Youngstown State. A good ball hawk that should be able to help them out. And for Youngstown State, I mean, you just take a look at the reinforcements that come in. Adrian Nelson, he is now off of Northern Kentucky. And if you wind up taking Adrian Nelson, you put him back on Northern Kentucky. Youngstown State and Northern Kentucky, they likely swap spots with regards to my projector or finish. Nelson coming off of averaging 7.75 rebounds per game last season after he had 10 boards per game 2 seasons ago. Bryce McBride, he comes in from Eastern Michigan. He was able to log right in the neighborhood about 11.5 points and a steal per game last season. 3-point shooting needs a little bit of work, but you get in Malik Green as well. Malik Green's numbers are a little bit of a Medusa because a lot of his numbers were pushed down due to injury. When he was fully healthy, first 10 games of the season out of conference, he averaged 16.5 points, 7.5 boards, 1.3 steals per game, shot 36% from three. Middle of the season was rough, was able to pick it up towards the back half of the season. And then you got Brandon Rush. He winds coming in from Fairleigh Dickinson. There was nothing around him last season. A bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys. That's why he shot 30% from three 2 seasons ago. 14.3 points per contest, shot 42% from three. He should be able to bring that for Youngstown State. I've got Youngstown State number 2 in my projector or fish. And number 1, we go with the Mastodons of Fort Wayne, IPFW. They do wind up losing a piece or two from last season, but Jared Godfrey is a good place to be able to start for this team. about 15.2 points per game. He was able to give the team 4.5 boards, 4 assists per game. Now, rebounding, that is going to be something that is going to be a little bit of a sore spot for this team, as last season that was really their main bugaboo. But Bobby Plantis is someone that is very versatile. He stands right around 6'8". I do think that he's going to be able to improve on the fact that he only wound up having right around 3.5 boards per game last season. But last season, shot 96.7% at the free throw line, 38% from 3-point range. That's a little bit of a 6'8" joker player, so I like what he's able to bring to the table. Damian Chung-Q was able to leave Mount St. Mary's to the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago. He comes back after he wound up averaging right around 10 points, 3.5 assists per game, and really played some of his best basketball down the stretch, shooting 41% from 3 in the final 18 games of the season. Ari Kapati was able to do a solid job down low for the team as well. He was able to pull in a little bit over 6 rebounds per game. And then you've got Quentin Morton Robinson, who wound up redshirting last season after he averaged 7.5 points at a CO per game on 38% 3-point shooting at Radford. He comes in and one of the more underrated transfers in all of college basketball. D2 stud Anthony Roberts comes in from St. Cloud State. Not a guy that's going to really gun it from 3-point range, but averaged 21 points, 8.5 boards, 1.4 steals per game. That is going to be big for a team that they've got darn near everything aside from one or two pieces like Jalen Pipkins coming back from last season. I think that this is going to be a very formidable Fort Wayne team. They were able to earn a share of the regular season conference crown last season, one of the best 3-point shooting teams in all of college basketball last 2 seasons. I think that now that their defense has been able to kick it into high gear, and I think that their rebound is going to be a little bit better this season, they are going to be able to win the conference. I've got the Macedons number one in my projector of finish, and that will wrap things up for the Horizon League Conference preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. A big thanks to Blake Lovell for breaking down these teams with me in the second segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and tune in. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day on this podcast. When it comes to the off-season news and notes of college basketball and conference previews, and then in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, which means I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.